Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts. Live from Trackside, this is IMSA Radio.
I'm getting kind of used to this early weekend racing thing. Thursday and Friday at Watkins Glen, the last time we were out for the Northeast Grand Prix. It's Friday and Saturday. Hello everybody, I'm John Hindhoff and we're getting ready for another dose of excitement. It's the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, and coming up next from Lime Rock Park in beautiful Connecticut is the second free practice session for the Northeast Grand Prix. It's live and exclusive only here at www.imsaradio.com.
The WeatherTech Sports Car Championship on IMSA Radio.
In the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre with Jeremy Shaw, I'm John Hindhoff. Shea Adam is our VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock Reporter. Let's go to her first, as we've got a couple of minutes before we get the green flag for this hour and 15 minutes session, which is split up between the drivers. Again, we'll go through all of that in a moment, but let's catch up first of all, Shea, with news from the entry list. This is a GT extravaganza this weekend, so GT Daytona and GT Le Mans plus Michelin Pilot Challenge as well, of course. But right now we're looking at 16 entries for the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. And roughly speaking, the 16 that we were expecting?
Hello, and yes.
Hello.
But we were expecting a little bit more in terms of car count, but quality over quantity. I'm going to say that over and over again this weekend. Driver changes as far as we are concerned. Matthew Jaminet back in the WeatherTech Racing Porsche with Cooper McNeil, as Matt Campbell is on duty over in Europe this weekend. I had Matt Campbell written down in my notebook, even though I knew he wasn't going to be there, so don't know why that happened. But yes, Jam Jam back in the 79 WeatherTech Racing Porsche. He is a rookie to Lime Rock Park, have never raced here before. The other car that had a change in it was the car that's actually not here this weekend. 28 Allegra Motorsports Mercedes, not in the field this weekend. We don't have a solid answer as for why Daniel Morad and Michael De Quesada are not participating. But we do have three Porsches, two Lexus, two Lamborghinis, what else? A BMW, as always, an Audi, and three Acuras. So it is a very full field.
And a Partridge in a Pear Tree, it would sound. Hello to those of you at Lime Rock Park this Friday afternoon. The PA belting out IMSA Radio. Thank you to Tyler Norling and our IMSA Radio technical team, as well as everyone at Lime Rock Park, for hooking us up to the public address system to take you through this session. Jeremy Shaw, as I mentioned, is in the global Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre with me. Hello, Jeremy. You ready for this?
I am, I think, yeah. I'm looking super excited, always excited to be at Lime Rock Park, whether in reality or virtuality. This time, unfortunately, it's virtual, but no, very much so. I think it's, as Shea was saying, it's a good number of cars to have around here, incredibly competitive. We've already had one practice session this morning, and looking at the GTD times, they were super close. So I think we're in for a very, very exciting day of action tomorrow.
As the cars head out onto the circuit, a little bit of clouds, some of it looking more threatening than others. We'll keep a weather eye on that, pun absolutely intended. Shea's got the rain radar up as well. This is our shortest track of the year. It's also one of our fastest in terms of average speed. Never mind about the times. That's why everybody's crushed so close together, as Jeremy mentioned. Warm, very warm. Air temperature 32 degrees Celsius, if you'd prefer that, in the... what's that? That's about...
90.
Is it? Oh, right, it is 90. Yeah, I was going to say about 88. So, yeah, absolutely right. And on the track, it is 106 Fahrenheit, which is 41 Celsius. So pretty much the same as at Silverstone for the Formula One this weekend in terms of the temperatures. But the humidity here is the killer at the moment. That's what's going to slow people down. But Shea, this is a short track, but it's a fast track, vying for top spot in terms of average speed with Road America.
Yeah, it's actually very fun that on the usual IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship schedule, we go from Canadian Tire Motorsport Park to Lime Rock Park to Road America, all three of which have extremely average high speeds, Lime Rock being the shortest track that we go to each year. This variation that we run, 1.474 miles, so we circulate it in 49 seconds for GTLM, 51.4 for GTD being the track record. We were about a second off this morning in each of the into the classes, so we're still a bit off from what we're going to see in quali. But this is a track that presents extremely fast speeds, and considering that these GT cars are turning times not that far off the times of the GTP days, we're doing okay.
Yeah, all right, yes, but we're not running the same track, Jeremy. That's a fair point. When Shea's dad, Bill Adam, was running Jaguars, etc., around here, there was no chicane on the uphill on the far side of the circuit. It is extraordinary how things progress and how quickly it seems to people of a certain age, like you and me, things progress. These cars are very, very quick indeed.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's nothing like as quick as Motorsport or Road America here. We're probably at least 10 miles an hour down average speed compared to that. But considering it is only a mile and a half around, yeah, it's certainly fast and furious around here. Brilliant racetrack. Really, really fun. You know, it's really just you know, six or seven corners here at the most, depending on what you term as a corner. And there's really only one left-hander. But a real challenge, a great array of corners around here in terms of technique. It's a place that, you know, it's a funky little place. It's kind of known as the ball ring, I suppose. But it's just a fun track to drive around, and it is a real challenge because of that. You know, there's not a lot of runoff areas. In the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship, we are using the chicane before the uphill corner, which is where there were several nasty accidents back in the old GTP days, where cars were kind of flipping over backwards, a la Saint-Gervais or Road Atlanta or what have you. But whereas the Michelin Pilot Challenge race also here this weekend is not using that chicane. They are using the regular uphill corner there at Lime Rock Park. A brilliant place to come racing.
And what sort of times should we be looking for, Jeremy?
Yeah, that record here for a GTLM is a 49.1, which is an average speed of 108 miles an hour, 108.001 if you want to get pedantic. That was the qualified lap record that was set last time we were here, which of course was 2 years ago because of COVID. We weren't able to get here in 2020. So that was Laurens Vanthoor who set that time in one of the Porsche 911 RSR 19s. And so 49.1 then is the lap record for GTLM. For GTD, Trent Hindman it was who set the lap record a couple of years ago at a 51.4. That was in an Acura, again 103 miles an hour. The race lap records, a fair bit slower. 50.7 is the race lap record for GTLM. 52.0, so only 6 cents off the qualifying time, was the fastest lap in GTD, which was set by the aforementioned, by Shea, Matt Campbell, a couple of years ago in a Porsche. The times this morning, 50.4 was the quickest time. That was set by Antonio Garcia this morning. So that is quicker than the race lap record in GTLM, but more than a second away from the qualifying mark. In GTD, a 52.499 by Frank Pereira. Great to see a GRT Grasso Racing Lamborghini having a good time this morning. 52.4, that's about 0.4 off the race lap record and just about exactly a second off the qualifying lap record.
It's Jeremy Shaw with me, John Hindhoff, in the Haggerty Global Broadcast Centre at IMSA Radio, please. If you would like to drop us a line on Twitter, very happy to hear from you, whether you're trackside or a wee bit further afield. What is it? Coming up to 8 o'clock in the UK, and a problem for Grasser Racing with brand new Michelin sticker tyres on. The number 19 car with its relatively new livery, struggling through the uphill and towards the Big Bend area of the track. And I think we've got a bit of rain falling as well at the moment, which is, we have. But that's not the issue for the Grasser Lamborghini. That car is just going slowly at the moment. It sounds to me as though, shit, Adam, it's stuck on the pit lane limiter.
Yeah, he's either stuck in gear or he's stuck on the limiter. This is an outlap for Misha Goikber. You can still see the stickers on the Michelin tires. But rain definitely in the area and starting to fall now. We've got a couple of penalties, actually, worth mentioning, one of which came from that 19 car. The reason that he's just now going out on track for Misha Goikber, took two checkered flags at the end of the last practice session, which was a five-minute hold for the start of this session. And a penalty yet to be served by the Turner Motorsport BMW, Robbie Foley, on an outlap. Now he's going to need to come back down the pit lane for a drive-through because he left the pit box too soon.
Whatever the problem was for Misha Goikber, it looks like he's got it going again, but he has not. He's just coming down the hill now towards the downhill, the diving turn at the end of the lap. And I think that's on the rev limiter. Yeah, yes, Jeremy, that's still on the pit lane speed limiter, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah, for some reason. So electronic gremlins there striking that great-looking car. You talked about that livery with the kind of, sure, how you describe those?
I said that they were, they were like Tostados. They're like Tostados or some kind of chips that you would be dipping in something. There's little triangles all over it. It debuted in that a couple of races ago our second race actually at Watkins Glen.
Yeah, I think it was last time out, wasn't it?
Yeah, indeed.
And that car was that was the quickest car this morning with Frank Pereira at the wheel. But Misha Goikber set a very good lap time also in that car this morning. So they're looking really, really strong, which is about time because they've had just dismal luck. So far this season, that number 19 car seems like everything that possibly can go wrong has done at some stage or another. So they'll be looking for, if you've got some gremlins now, hopefully get those fixed so they can get out later in this session. And that's it for as far as gremlins are concerned, or for the weekend, one would hope. A car that did have some problems this morning, John, was Turner Motorsport BMW. You'd only set the seventh fastest time in GTD this morning with Bill Oblin at the wheel. Only did 14 laps. Most cars did well over 40. Then an axle failure on that BMW. So that was out for much of the session this morning. So on the side, Tarco's on the side. Brilliant.
Yeah. Normally on the 96 car, they have Turner in blue down the side. There is a tradition. I was talking about various Tex-Mex and Mexican snacks earlier on. There's a big tradition with Will Turner and Turner Motorsport here. Explain to the assembled multitude.
If you win a race, you get tacos. That is the reward for Turner Motorsport. And, it's worked very well for them in the past. Maybe a margarita or two, depending on the time of the race, can go with the tacos. But their home base is not too far away from this track. So it was a little bit of fun and tradition. Turner tacos on the side of the 96 this weekend.
Like it. We need to get the diecast of that one because that'll be a limited edition. I think somewhere I've still got some tequila Patron, so we may be having margaritas at some stage over the weekend. Now you've said that with the now that we're in the heat of summer, coming up on 3 o'clock at Lime Rock Park. Good to have your company. Still one or two spots and spits of rain around the circuit. Really busy little lap here for the drivers. They've got the tackle sign up on the pit board as well. That is absolutely magnificent. Tricky little track here. 1.5 miles. The Bullring, as you heard. Not unknown, Jeremy, for teams to set the cars up asymmetrically here, as if there were no left-handed corners here, because there is only one, effectively.
That's exactly right. It's still up, many of the teams are set up here like an oval track, as if it was left turns only. In this case, it's right-hand turns pretty much exclusively, and the left-hander isn't really significant in terms of finding the ultimate lap time here. It's all the right-handers that are. So they'll quite happily kind of give up the left-hander in order for the car to be working well on the rest of the racetrack, because that is where the time is to be found, and it is so tight around here. I think the top seven cars this morning in GTD were covered by 0.2 seconds, and I reckon that was probably six different manufacturers as well, possibly five. But you see, Porsche, Lamborghini, Porsche, Aston Martin, Lexus, and BMW. So yeah, okay, five cars then within 0.2 seconds. Super tight.
It's Jeremy Shaw, Shea Adam, our VP Racing Field Pit and Paddock Reporter. It's bad enough for the wiper to be on the Audi at the end of the long front straight into Big Bend. That's the number 39, the dark grey and bright Kermit green. And at the moment, that's Richard Heistand behind the wheel of the car barn with Corrigan Racing Audi. And yeah, it's bad enough to have the wipers on, and as a driver, Jeremy, the last thing you want to do, the very last thing you want to do, is actually put the wiper on, because you never know what the state the screen is going to be in. So you will leave it as long as possible, and various preparations on the screen to make the water bubble off and bead away. But the wiper is now on consistently on that 39 car.
Yes, it used to be. Of course, this is still very early in the session, so the screen won't have got all messed up. It'll have been nicely clean beforehand. So I guess if you've got the wiper going, you really can see how much rain is falling out there. But still some pretty good lap times. His last time around was a 53.3, which is not a bad lap time. The quickest time in this session is actually quicker than Franck Pereira managed this morning. 52.499 this morning, 52.380 by Zachary Robichon in the plaid Porsche, the Pfaff Motorsports Porsche car number 9. That is the car that won here 2 years ago with Zachary, and he was sharing them with Dennis Olsen, it was, who took the car to victory, despite a puncture on the last lap, which is a bit of a scary moment for him. But in this session now, the top four cars, which are Robichon, Aaron Tielitz in number 14 Lexus, Trent Hindman in number 16 Porsche, and Robbie Foley in number 96 BMW, all faster than... No, scratch that. The top... They are. All quicker than the fastest time this morning.
Yeah, don't second guess yourself, Mr. Shaw. You were spot on there.
I was looking at the fifth time for some reason. I missed. Yeah. So yeah.
Just had a
quicker than this morning.
Just had a text from Nick Tandy in the pit lane. We've been swapping some texts throughout the day. Social distancing at its best. Real rain, he's calling that now. In the paddock, with still an hour on the clock, the GT Le Mans cars will be coming out shortly. I did say, Shea, that I would let you organise, or at least explain, the organisation of this session. We've got an hour left, but it's not an hour for everyone.
Yeah, correct. And by the way, Mr. Tandy, I'm getting reports of the rain being more like a thick mist in the area. But there is severe weather around the track. I have just gotten the first warning, but it's not a bad stage as of yet. So the running continues. It looks like the lightning is north, actually in Massachusetts, to give you an idea of just about where it is. But this session, first 15 minutes are for the silver and bronze drivers only in GTE to be out on track by themselves. The next 15 minutes is where the GTLM drivers are allowed out as we go to red flag. That might actually be for the weather. Then the GTLM drivers are allowed out on track from 3 to 4 p.m. And in GTD, everybody in GTD is allowed out between 3:15 and 3:45 p.m. Just now getting confirmation, by the way, this is for weather in the area. So the red flag is for severe weather.
Yeah. Understood. Now, this is not because the track can't be used at the moment, but hard and fast rule that if there is bad weather and particularly lightning in the air at any kind of close proximity to the circuit, then we can't carry on. The corner workers need to be off their posts. That we our camera operators from NASCAR Productions, and by the way, thanks to all of our colleagues at NASCAR Productions up in Charlotte and here at the track in advance for all of their help. Well, they can't be at their posts either with the likelihood of lightning strikes, or even the possibility of lightning strikes in the area. So we will continue to count down at the moment. Here's how it stands with everybody, of course, in the pits. It's Zachary Robichon for Pfaff in the Porsche 911 with the fastest time of a 52.3. And I actually hear rainfall now on some of the effects mics as well, as it's getting heavier. That's not what stopped this. Secondly, Aaron Tielik in the number 14 Vassar Sullivan Lexus. He's just about half a tenth behind. Very, very close at the top, as Jeremy was mentioning. And then the 16 Wright Motorsports Porsche is another half a tenth behind. Not even that, actually. 0.008 of a second. So, in fact, the top four cars, because you can add Robbie Foley to that, Jeremy, and the number 96 Tacos Motorsport, as we're calling it this week. That's what's on the side of the car. That's what's on the side of the car. That's what I'm going to call it this weekend, Will Turner. Their M6 GT3, 0.071 of a second behind. So, Jeremy, the top four within three quarters of a tenth of a second in that early running.
Yeah, is that close enough for you? Yeah, it is. It's brilliant, isn't it? And yeah, that's what we're going to get used to. Yeah, that's what it always like. It's always like that here at Lime Rock Park. That's what makes it so much fun. Having said that, yeah, the cars will be very, very close together. It is difficult to make a pass here, no question about that. But yeah, it is doable, and yeah, there are some places where you can be a little bit forceful, let's say, but without getting too without getting overly aggressive, but it's going to be a fun race, and it always is here. With just the GT cars here, the LMs this morning were about a second and a half or so quicker than, I guess, 2 seconds was the differential this morning between the GT LMs and the GTD. So it's going, with a 50 second lap, it's going to take, should be 25 or 30 laps before there's any proper lappery involved. So it's unlike, say, Watkins Glen last time out, where the prototypes were lapping the GT cars every 6 or 7 laps, or it was between 7 and 10 laps. So there's a lot more lappery there than there's going to be here. And of course, with just the three GT LM cars, unfortunately, it's not going to be as big a factor as it is in many of the other tracks in the M2 WeatherTech Sports Car Championship.
Let's take an update on the weather from race control. Shea Adam has a VP Racing Fuel pit and paddock report with some pretty intense areas of weather on the radar at the moment. Shea, what do you know?
As of 3:01 p.m., we are in a full stop for severe weather in the area. That means a 30-minute hold. Just looking at the radar to see, oh yes, there are quite a few lightning strikes to the north of the track. They are very much to the north. The cell passing over the track now is, or about to pass over the track, is yellow. The area of concern is up in Massachusetts and New York right now, but it is still a stage 3 because of lightning within the range of the circuit. So that means that all teams will be asked to go back to a safe place. So leave the pit lane and go find some shelter. So if you're out around the track, you might want to find some place that will keep you dry and not metallic, preferably.
You may have just lost us for a moment or two on the PA at the circuit because of that. I'm sure they'll be making some official announcements out there on the circuit. Yes, they are indeed. I can hear that in the background. So red flag then at Lime Rock Park. The rain intensifying, but the red flag not necessarily just for the rain. In fact, it isn't for the rain at the moment. It's for the severe weather and for lightning in the area. So if you are at the track, and I think actually we're getting a few, possibly even getting a bit of hail coming down there as well. But certainly it's coming down very, very heavily indeed. Seek shelter, please, if you are at the circuit. Tips of radio on RS2, wherever you are around the world. Good to have your company. And we can hear the rain falling now at the track. And as yet, of course, we haven't seen the GT Le Mans cars around the circuit. And still the public address informing everyone here at the track to take cover. I'll just wait for a moment until we get back onto the public address. Weather coming in from the west. But at the moment, no hope of getting back to green flag anytime soon. IMSA Radio RS2 across the weekend with live sound and vision, of course, of the qualifying session for the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. Taking the opportunity to move a little bit of traffic around the circuit and into position. We've got a few emergency vehicles and a few RVs that normally wouldn't be allowed in over the top of the circuit bridge, which are taking the opportunity to get through the track area as well at the moment. 52 minutes still on the clock, but the clock is running. Whilst we've got this red flag, we'll take the opportunity to tell you a little bit about a new movie that has been released this week from the independent filmmaker Adrian Bonvento. He's been following a number of IMSA teams down through the years, but in their rookie season in 2019, he palled up with the Michelin Pilot Challenge team that run the Camaro GT4 Rebel Rock Racing to produce a quite extraordinary piece of work. I spoke to them earlier this week ahead of the release on Wednesday, joined by Robin Liddell as well, but first of all asked the director and producer Adrian Bonvento how the project got started.
You know, I approached a few different teams, and long story short, I had known Robin since the Stevenson days, and we worked together on some previous short film. So him and I had a good relationship. I approached him. He introduced me to Frank Depew, and Frank Depew was really on board and great in terms of offering to support the film and giving me full access and really complete creative control, which is pretty rare.
For us to do this, it was a relationship based on trust to an extent, because, you know, as Adrian's pointed out, he had done some short films that he'd done for Stevenson, both with the Audi and the Camaro program in 2016-17. So he'd done some short movies around that, sort of 3, 4, 5 minutes. You know, Frank bought into it from the beginning. So when I showed Frank, I was aware of what Adrian was trying to do. And it was actually at the Roar in 2019 that we discussed this. So he approached me, or we'd had a chat about it, and I thought this would be a great idea for us. I thought it would be, one, a great way of capturing and preserving our season for posterity, if you like, more than anything else, or as much as anything else. But also it would represent potentially a great opportunity for the team commercially, because if this film's successful, clearly it would have some kickback in that regard.
Yep.
And also because I liked Adrian's work and I knew he was talented and I liked what his style and what he could do, it didn't take me very long to convince Frank that this would be a great, good idea. So all I really had to do was show Frank some of the shorter movies and say, look, watch this, tell me what you think of it, and then we'll have a conversation about this guy and what he can do and what he wants to do. So as soon as Frank had watched them, he went, yeah, I like his style. I mean, Frank's, you know, he's got a creative eye for things to an extent also, and he liked the style. And once he'd watched it, he said, yeah, absolutely interested. And we talked to Adrian, and you know, Frank agreed that he would help support it as best he could, and that we would give him one of his key things was that he wanted access to everything. And so we gave him that. Of course, that, you know, provided elements throughout the film, not just at the beginning of the year, but it provided elements throughout the year. But from my own personal point of view, it's very difficult to see others, to see yourself as others see you. And that's made it difficult to watch it in elements of it. But at the same time, like I say, I trusted Adrian. And the fact that the season started off a bit shaky, in reality, actually just created the story for itself. We didn't have to seek a plot or a story. Yeah. The story was then, the scene was then set for the story that the film told, which was obviously a very shaky start. And then ultimately, as you know, we went on to win a couple of races that year and have some success.
Do you think your previous experience in and around particularly IMSA races allowed you to have that spatial awareness of where you had to be at any one time? You had to effectively read the race as it applied to the Rebel Rock Racing Camaro.
Exactly. Yeah. And I think it has. I mean, not only the familiarity with the IMSA paddock, how they operate, you know, because pit lane is pretty chaotic and you have to kind of always have your head in a swivel. So I always sort of knew what was going on and I was staying out of people's ways, you know, because I was when they were doing pit stops, I was right up there almost like I was a member of the crew and I had to not get in their way because obviously everybody's here first and foremost to race. And that was one of the challenges was how do I tell a compelling film and get the shots I really want to get without affecting the race at all in any way.
But it's very much a first-person movie that takes you right inside the team. And was that deliberate and conceived right at the beginning?
It was, yeah. And because a lot of, like I said, a lot of my inspiration from this film had come from the feelings I've had, the emotions I've had growing up as a kid going to the racetracks. And I really wanted to try and convey that. And you know, I have a little bit of my own style when it comes to shooting as well. So, yeah, I really made a decision to say I just want to do this completely myself. And especially when it came to the in-car cameras, you know, broadcast does a great job of covering the race. And that's amazing from what they do from their perspective. From a cinema perspective, you know, I wanted different angles. I wanted higher quality audio. I wanted the entirety of the thing at a higher resolution, which isn't easy to do for broadcast. So that was a conscious decision. And I really, having actually been lucky enough in my life to be in the passenger seat of a two-seated race car on the track, knowing how that feels, how intense it is, I wanted to try and convey those feelings, those emotions, those forces with cameras during the race.
The pictures really breathe here, Adrian, as well. That's the thing that I noticed.
Yeah, no, I wanted, and my inspiration, a lot of my stuff has come from cinema rather than traditional documentary filmmaking. And obviously, it's impossible to actually create cinema at a race because you don't have multiple takes. You do the best you can. Nobody's staging anything. It's all what you can capture. But, you know, I wanted it to feel more like a proper film. And I didn't want anybody to be taken out of the action at any moment. So the challenge was, how do we convey what's going on to those who don't really understand the sport completely without taking you completely out of the moment and giving you a racing 101 breakdown?
Clearly, what he's tried to do is portray the feelings that are around going racing. And his thing, his big question is, why you go racing?
Yeah.
Well, I've found it personally actually very difficult to communicate some of this with him. And he has been sort of, throughout the time we've worked together on this, he's sort of tried to give me the confidence that actually what the material I'm giving him is what he wants. But to me, it's like it doesn't come across so well, or it doesn't maybe come easily. So there were times and occasions where he would say to me, oh, I want to do some voiceover with you back at the hotel. And I'm just like, oh, I really don't want to do this weekend. Like, I just can't get my head in that space. It's been tough for all of us, I think, to contribute in our own little way. And, you know, there were times, like I say, when he was asking me stuff or doing these voiceover interviews, as it were, and I really struggled. And he made me, dig deep at times to come out with things that meant something to me at some level that I could try and share.
What did you get out of rookie season, the year you spent with Rebel Rock Racing in the Urban Grid Camaro, that surprised you the most? And you said, right, well, that has that, as I'm doing my plan, that on the storyboard, that's in, that's got to go in, because I never thought I'd get that.
To me, it's fairly obvious, but I mean, that amazing race in the rain in Road America, which starts and ends the film in a way. Like Robin said, the story did fortunately almost write itself. I mean, coming from a very low to a near miss at Watkins Glen to a win at CTMP and then a bit of a low at Lime Rock when there were higher expectations and then back up, you know, ecstatic at that, you know, crossing the line millimeters behind or in front of the McLaren. All the in-car that I captured during that race, four different camera angles, the audio and the team radio, you know, all that stuff to work it together into more of a cinematic several laps. That was, I knew that had to be in the film.
That was Adrian Bonvento, the producer and director, man, cameraman, and editor of Rookie Season, and also in that was Robin Liddell. That was just a little appetizer. We'll play you the full version of that interview between sessions on RS2, IMSA Radio via imsaradio.com. Under red flag for lightning in the area of Lime Rock Park, 43 minutes still to run of this free practice two for the Northeast Grand Prix. Hello there, if you are just joining us. It's John Hindhoff and Jeremy Shaw in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre as we wait for more news about the situation. Talk about unlucky, Jeremy. It's the cell of weather has really zeroed in on Lime Rock Park at the moment, which has caused this red flag situation.
Yeah, really unfortunate. But look at the weather radar. I mean, just a few sort of dotted things around the area. There's a bit more north of us, but a couple of miles south and beyond that, it looks absolutely fine. So it just kind of made a beeline here for Lime Rock Park. I guess they wanted to come and watch the races at the cloud.
Let's pick the racetrack up and take it about 5 miles south, and we've been fine. Yeah. Absolutely fine.
Cornwall, we'll be fine.
Yeah, absolutely. Shea Adam is our VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock reporter. What are you hearing from the pit and paddock? It appears to be brightening up, and the rain at least appears to be easing. But of course, that's not what stopped the track action here, Shea.
No, correct. And the rain has lessened up. The lightning is still north of the track, but there is still lightning striking north of the track. And every time that there is a lightning strike, the timer, if you will, resets 30 minutes. And the problem is that we are on a time crunch for the remainder of the day, because this session, which is scheduled to finish at 4:00 local in the afternoon, 20 minutes later begins Michelin Pilot Challenge qualifying. And that runs until 4:59. 20 minutes after that begins WeatherTech qualifying. And track action must be done by 6 p.m. due to local ordinances, meaning that our 5:55 end time to the day is not movable.
Yeah, that is not negotiable. Some vestiges of a bit of blue sky just looking out over to the far side of the circuit at the moment. So let's keep our fingers crossed for that. The track is wet. For those of you at the circuit, of course, I'm telling you nothing that you don't know. But for those who aren't able to look out and have a look and are listening in via imsaradio.com around the world on RS2, the new home of IMSA Radio, and all of our archive is there as well. We're going to be standing still for a little while longer. It gives us the opportunity, Jeremy, just to bring everybody up to date with where we are as far as the season is concerned. After a doubleheader weekend at Watkins Glen International that certainly provided us with plenty of accident, incident, excitement, controversy. It had plenty of talking points, and it basically takes us through into the second half of the season. How do things stand in the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship?
Yeah, it's a kind of a mixed match season again, isn't it? Yeah, we have different rounds of different for different classes. This is the fifth round of the season for GTLM. It's the the sixth round for the full IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship for GTD. It's also the fourth round out of eight, I think, for the IMSA WeatherTech Sprint Cup. So for GTLM, number three Corvette has a pretty handy lead in the points over number four car. And then Cooper McNeil, he's only, 39 points with the new system behind the number four car in terms of points. 39 sounds actually like quite a lot, but it's actually less than that because we've got 10 times as many points on offer now for each race than we had last season. So he's a lot closer than it would otherwise appear. Then in regular season GTD, Bill Orblin and Robbie Foley, with the win at the 6 hours, they've got a lead of now 61 points over the number 23 Aston Martin of Roman De Andres and Ross Gunn. So it's Bill Orblin and Robbie Foley at lead on 1,296, and 1,235 for the Aston Martin. Of course, the most recent round, the WeatherTech 240 at Watkins Glen, and also the round before the 6 hours in Detroit, neither of those two races counted towards the regular season championship for GTD. So this is just the fifth round, therefore, of regular season GTD out of 10. It's all a bit confusing, isn't it? But it's basically all to play for. They're very, very tight. Behind in the third position, Brian Sellers and Madison Snow. They're only 43 points behind, so kind of 4 points in old numbers, if you like. So very much in the game. And then the two Porsche teams, number nine team is 55 points behind the number one Paul Miller Racing Lamborghini. And Patrick Long in number 16 Porsche is almost tied, just 3 points behind Zachary Robichaud and Lawrence Vanthoor. So very, very tight there in GTD, as we would expect. In the Sprint Cup for GTD, Roman De Andres and Ross Gunn have had a fourth, a first, and a third in the three races that count toward the Sprint Cup, which were in order Mid-Ohio, Detroit, and the WeatherTech 240 at Watkins Glen. They're on 1,013 points against the 986 of Frankie Monte Calvo alone, because Zach Veach was forced to miss the round in Detroit. And then behind, next up, is the sister Lexus, the number 14 Lexus, behind Frankie Monte Calvo by 15 points on 871, so 115 points behind already, but up into third place with that win in the most recent round. With the problems in the most recent round for Robbie Foley and Bill Orblin, they're now fourth in the points in the Turner Motorsport BMW.
Shea Adam has a VP Racing pit and paddock report. Shea, what do you have for us?
Trying to get Trent Hinman for a chat from the Wright Motorsport Porsche. Trent, are you there? Hey, good to have you on our airwaves again. Trent, the last time that you raced at Lime Rock Park, it was a pole position and you went on to win the championship that year. Should be another good opportunity for you to come out and race, but this time in a Porsche. Yeah, it's a good track for you, Trent. You still hold the GTD track record. Last time you were here was the pole position. You finished second in that race, but this time you get to drive around Lime Rock in a Porsche. How much fun is that?
Yeah, so super, super interesting relative to the last time we were here, and definitely a lot's changed over the last few years. I'm just super fortunate to be here, though, with Wright Motorsports. Ryan, Patrick, Jan, all the guys really helped me out getting up to speed in this Porsche 911. It's really, I think, a strong car around Lime Rock Park, obviously, as we're seeing just before the rain delay here. Porsches are looking pretty good, so we just got to keep it moving that way and hopefully protect that lap record that you speak of there, Shay.
Well, if it rains in qualifying, I think your lap record is going to be safe. But rain for the race tomorrow. Porsches like rain. Are you excited to get out there and see what this track is like in the wet?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we love racing in the rain. I think all these guys in the GTD field absolutely love it. You know, they're phenomenal cars in the wet, but to me, I just want to get the experience driving a 911 in the wet. That's still something I have yet to have here. So any time that I can get, maybe before a rain race would be ideal. I hope we get to get back in the cars for the rest of practice too here. We'll see what happens. But, you know, historically, I know from having raced against the 911 before in the wet, they're definitely hard to beat. So I'm happy to be on the positive side of that fight this time around. And again, certainly looking forward to getting the right motorsports Porsche up front, no matter what the conditions are.
Well, and it's been a bit exciting for you so far this year. You were in the car for the endurance races, but getting a call up to be the full season co-driver with Patrick Long in a Porsche, that's got to be every kid's dream. Certainly, definitely one of mine. What's it like to share a car just with him?
It's unreal. To share a car with Patrick Long, I mean, that's something that I think any guy in my position or gal in my position, we were watching Pat Long win Le Mans back a couple, you know, quite some time ago, and, you know, constantly at the top of the heap in terms of Porsche drivers, and to actually have the opportunity to work with a guy, drive with a guy, but also just get a little bit of an idea of how much knowledge this guy has and how much he really brings to the table in terms of a team and a teammate. It's pretty unbelievable. I think it's something that I certainly would like to I think anybody would want to model their career after that, but certainly a lot goes into it. I'm just really lucky to have not only Patrick, but also Jan Hale and obviously Ryan Hardwick and everybody else at the Wright Motorsports team getting me coached up, so to say, and up to speed in this Porsche 911.
Trent, it's Hindoff here in the Hagerty Global Broadcast Centre. Thanks for joining us for this VP Racing Field Pit and Paddock Report. How frustrating is it not to be out on track, and how does it change how you and the team look forward to getting your work done this weekend? It's a pretty compact weekend anyway. Do you relish the challenge, and does that mean that the driver in some ways gets to make a bigger difference?
Well, John, I think everybody takes a little bit of solace in the fact that we're all dealing with the same thing here. So it's not just the Wright Motorsports team that's not running on track right now. It's the entire pit lane. And yeah, the challenge, or at least the gravity of the challenge, is certainly a little bit higher now, considering the fact that we're already at a lack of running time. And now that sort of time constraint has become even more, more aggressive. So pressure's on, and I don't think there's really a better team in this paddock that's going to handle the high pressure, you know, time pressure sort of situation, you know, better than the Wright Motorsports team.
Hi, Trent. Jeremy here. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us. Hey, do you regard this as your home racetrack?
I'm sorry, Jeremy. What was that?
Do you regard this as your home track?
Yes, I would say I do. Watkins Glen, Lime Rock Park, both very near and dear to my heart, both very near to my home in Asbury Park, New Jersey. I love both of these racetracks. It's just a bit weird where this Lime Rock Park is the closer of the two racetracks up here in the Northeast that IMSA visits, but I've been here actually quite a bit less than I have with Watkins Glen. So just with that in mind, I like to call both these places home track, so to say, but both two unbelievable tracks, super, super high speed, high commitment, some of the most legendary in not just North America, I think all the world. So I'm fortunate that I can call these two places my home track.
I'm very envious of you as well to be able to do that. Trent Hendman from Wright Motorsport, the car sitting in third at the moment. Thank you for joining us on IMSA Radio.
Hey, no problem. Thank you guys for having me.
That VP Racing Field Pit and Paddock Report brought to you live here on RS2 IMSA Radio. We've got some movement around the circuit and we've got some track vehicles out there as well, with still weather in the air, but the rain, at least, if it hasn't absolutely stopped, it's eased to the spits and spots that we had, what, some 20 minutes ago, maybe a little more than that. You know, when you look out around Lime Rock Park, it is a very green and pleasant land, and I'm afraid you can't have that without having some precipitation. So really, even at this time of the year, no surprise that we're going to get a splash here and there. And the area around the circuit is particularly picturesque because of it, but it does look like things have eased as far as the weather is concerned. What we're waiting for now is word from race control to let us know when we might get restarted. Just under 29 minutes of this session to go, and Ashir was saying we can't extend here. We've got a hard finish this evening because of the curfew time for noise, which is 5:55, just before 6 o'clock here at Lime Rock Park. We've got a qualifying session to come for Mission Pilot Challenge, and then the qualifying session for this, the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. By the way, we'll have that for you in sound and vision as well, whether you're here in the States or further afield. And just a reminder that on Saturday, the main race, the Northeast Grand Prix, will be on XM202 in the US. And if you're in the US, you might want to set your DVRs for a little bit later in the afternoon. 5:30, I think it is, Shea, from memory, isn't it, for the NBCSN coverage, which is on tape delay on Saturday?
I believe you're correct. I believe it goes live as the race ends.
Right, okay.
Which is a little bit confusing.
Well, I don't normally say this, but if you don't want to know, then don't listen to us. But if you want to stay with us live in the US, then RS2 IMSA Radio. For those of you outside the US and in territories that don't have the live network feed, then, of course, you can follow along at imsaradio.com via the live video button. No interruptions to that. And we'll get underway in the middle of the afternoon. Drivers starting to look interested in getting back to their cars now. Shea Adam.
And one of those drivers being Mario Farnbacher. He's been known as a bit of a rainmeister over the course of the years, and he's waiting to get into the Compass Racing Acura. This car, which has had a couple of struggles over the last few races, not really to do with their own volition, but Mario was second in the race here in 2019. He came so close to winning the race, but it was Dennis Olsen and the Pfaff Motorsport Porsche who prevailed, and Mario will be about the happiest guy on the pit lane, not only to get back out in the car, but to see that the track is slick, and even better, that there's rain in the forecast for tomorrow.
I was going to ask you that. I mean, that will change people's attitude here to what they're doing, Jeremy, because first of all, you've got a race tomorrow that might be rain. But before that, this afternoon, there are a couple of qualifying sessions for the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. And we've seen plenty of times here before that wet and drying session. So people will want to get out when they're told they can't.
Yeah, they certainly will, yes, because, this is a, we talked about earlier on, in the dry, it's a tricky track, and it doesn't get any less tricky in the rain, particularly, like you say, if it's a drying track as well. It really does, pose its own challenges around here. And, of course, in qualifying, once qualifying starts, you're not allowed to touch the car, therefore, not allowed to switch tyres. We had a drying session at Watkins Glen, didn't we? Was it the last one? Or I can't remember if it was the 6 hours or the short race. But in the beginning of the session, it was pretty wet out there. And a few teams, including Aaron Tielitz in the number 14 Lexus, opted to go out on dry tyres. And they were off the pace for most of the session. But the last couple of laps really came storming up the order. And I think just one more lap, i.e. another minute or so, and he would have most likely been on pole position. So that was an interesting call that. We then had under the new system, the points session followed that. Everybody was on slicks for that. And in fact, Aaron Tielitz's co-driver, Jack Hawksworth, claimed the maximum points for the round from qualifying, although they had to start further back in the main race. due to Arantee that's been, you know, being out on this, on the dry tires on wet track. So we could well have that same sort of situation here later on this afternoon. That'd be fun.
That would be fun. I remember standing by the final corner with you watching, I think, a Formula Ford race a few years ago where we'd finished for the day, but there was still track action out. So you were there with your clipboard. And that was another one where it was last man across the line. He got the pole position. At this place, really fortune favouring the brave around here, particularly in those conditions, and just somehow working out where the grip is or is likely to be. The heat and the air temperature still hot enough to start bringing the moisture from the surface here. It is 77 Fahrenheit in the air, 91 on the track. That would be 25 in the air and 33 on the track. So it has chilled down a little bit, but we are getting the moisture coming up from the surface. Looks pretty spooky at the moment, but the sun is coming back out again. And more drivers, Shea Adam, going back to their cars now. I think the teams must have been told of a restart time with 23 minutes to go.
Correct. Targeting a restart time of 3:40 in the afternoon, so about 2.5 minutes away. There's Andy Lally in the Magnus Archangel Acura. We saw Farnbacher getting into the 76 Compass Acura. We've got Mark Miller getting into the 66 Compass Acura. There's an Acura theme for all the Acura fans out there. In the 39 Audi, the Carbon car is being driven once again by Richie Highstand. And in the 9 Pfaff Porsche, that is Zachary Robichon. So no driver changes there. Frankie Montecalvo in the 12 Lexus. Again, he was the guy who brought the car in before the red flag, being the silver rated driver. And in the 16, the man we were just talking to, Trent Hindman, ready to do some business once again. But it is Bill Power in the Bill Oberlin and Robbie Foley Turner Motorsports BMW. They only have 12 minutes remaining, no less than that actually, about 7 minutes remaining in this session for the GTD cars to go out. For the GTLM cars, they have just under 22 minutes time as Jordan Taylor leaves the pit lane for the second time, or actually is he driving back out to the pit lane? I can't tell, but he is moving in the number 3 Corvette. I think he's coming into his pit box. But he did leave the pit lane before the red flag came out, John. Jordan did an outlap in effect and then had to come back to the pit lane. So he's had the most frustrating session out of everybody, and he is going back out to the pit lane.
Yeah, copy that. So he's been back behind the wall in effect and is coming back out again into the pit lane proper. The working paddock is at pit out end of pit lane, and it is quite a drive down the back of the pit lane area, going wrong direction as it were, to be able to rejoin at the pit in end. There isn't a spot in the middle, and of course, Shea, given their championship positions, they are right at pit out for the Corvette Racing team,
making it very easy depending on which GTLM car happens to take the pole position if they're a Corvette, because they basically just put the car in first gear and roll forward a couple of feet to the penalty box. Just an update for you, in that first session that we had before the red flag, we did have two GTD cars that did not set representative lap times, or any lap times as far as that's concerned. The 19 Grasser Racing Lamborghini, that's the one that sounded like the pit lane speed limiter was stuck on. It went for the outlap and then never reappeared. And the 88 Team Hardpoint EBM Porsche, Rob Farrell and Kat Legg in that car had a gearbox change during the opening part of this segment. They were finishing the gearbox change, I should say. So Kat was lamenting the fact that they have lost some valuable dry running time. And then I pointed out to her, Kat, Porsches are very, very good in the wet. I don't think you have to worry about that.
Shea Adam with that VP Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock Report. Just a reminder, we'll have the full version of my interview with Adrian Bonvento and Robin Liddell, the rookie season, the stories of the ups and downs of the Rebel Rock Racing Michelin Pilot Challenge team. That comes up after this session on IMSA Radio and RS2. The movie is available now on the Vimeo platform. And if you want more details, it's rookieseason.com. rookieseason.com for all the details on that, and more good stuff from Robin Liddell and from Adrian Bonvento as well coming up after this session. We're down to under 20 minutes in total, still waiting, targeting a 15:40 start time, which is just passed by about a minute. That is the situation, although hearing Jeremy Shaw of some very typically IMSA pragmatism for the rest of this session.
Yeah, indeed so. I just texted Bo Barfield, the chief steward, who was kind enough to get straight back to me and confirm that this will be an all skate. So smart. All cars will be out for this for the final part of this session, instead of having the split there between the pros and the AMs, effectively. So a very sensible decision there, particularly with only three GTLM cars here. In any case, much better to give everybody an opportunity to get out there if they possibly can. So once again, as you say, John, a heads-up decision there from Race Control.
Do you know, it's one of the things that down through the years that has tremendously impressed me about IMSA. It was completely eye-opening when I first came over in... To see the racing and, the ability for IMSA to make decisions on the fly that are sensible. And that's one of them. Very well done. You know, you could have people pointing at the rule book and say, yeah, but you said it was going to be this. Yeah, but it makes more sense to do it this way, doesn't it? It absolutely does. So just under 18 minutes to go. We can't extend these sessions because of the track noise curfew. We've got the safety workers going back to their posts around the track, and this gives me the opportunity as a proud ambassador for the British Motor Racing Marshals Club to say thank you to all of our flaggers, to those working on posts around the track, and indeed to all of our volunteers, whether they are working in the medical centre, working on post, or even helping spectators in and out of the track. We simply cannot go motor racing without you. We salute all of you and say thank you for giving up some of your very precious free time. It's very wet off the track. The Porsche Cayenne EMR safety car is getting back into position just after the left-hander and towards the uphill chicane, and there was a splash as that car reversed back into its area. There's a wee bit of standing water still on the track. It will, I think, as... Oh, I hear green flag. I hear engine, so that must mean green flag. So that EMR safety car was just down on No Name straight there and reversing into its proper area. I would think, Jeremy, that probably for the end of this session everybody's going to burn off a set of Michelin wets at this stage.
Yeah, I presume everybody's on wets. I don't know, actually. It's drying up pretty quickly. It is so warm here. Yeah, it's pretty wet right now, isn't it? But it'll dry out pretty quickly, I think. So it won't be long, I think, before we see people out there on slick tyres, even if they're not going out right away on slicks. But certainly, as you suggested there, John, you don't want to be off on the grass, that's for sure.
So back underway with the engine sounds from around the track at Lime Rock Park, Connecticut. 1.5 miles, and it's an all skate for the next 15 and a half minutes or thereabouts. At IMSA Radio, if you want to get in touch with us, Jeremy Shaw, John Hindhoff, Shea Adam with us again this weekend as our VP Racing Pit, Racing Fuel Pit and Paddock reporter. The Corvettes have headed out onto the track. And almost, Adam, an empty pit lane for you.
Yeah, just one little straggler, and it happens to be the Aston Martin Heart of Racing car, Ross Gunn and Roman DeAngelo sharing this car. They come into the championship, second in points, but leading the sprint. I don't see why they wouldn't be out right now, though. It's supposed to be wet tomorrow, guys, so valuable running is track time.
Sure.
And you've got track time right now.
Never mind tomorrow. They've got to qualify later on this afternoon. There's no guarantee that we might not get another splash.
Yeah,
Yeah, you're right about that. Although it does look pretty good on the radar back behind, so it should be dry for qualifying, but it looks pretty pretty wet for the race. And ooh, a lot of penalties just dropped into my screen. The Paul Miller Racing Lamborghini, both of the Corvettes, the 14 Vassar Sullivan Lexus, and the 79 WeatherTech Racing Porsche, leaving the pit box early drive-through. That's a lot of cars.
Yeah, they'll come straight down and get that out of the way so they can find some kind of rhythm with 14 minutes on the clock. This is Free Practice 2, live and exclusively so on IMSA Radio, RS2, part of the Radio Show Limited network of channels. Indeed, the number one Lamborghini has been in and back out again by the look of that. Brian Sellers at the wheel of the Paul Miller number one red, white and black Lamborghini Huracan. And Jeremy, you are so right. That is drying up so quickly. There's a, if not a dry line, certainly a drying line around most of the track now.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, there's still little puddles at the end of No Name Straight there, but offline, and you're really not going to go there. You don't want to go there. But no. Yeah, you're right. It's drying out really quickly. I hear from my spies of the track. Thank you, Greg Ricks, who's been the commentator here at Limebrook Park. Great guy for many, many years. Miss you, Greg. Wish we were there. Just sent me a text to say that temperature's dropped in the last, well, since the rain show, I guess, from 86 degrees, a very steamy 86, to 74, which is a lot more sensible. So, it's still warm enough and it's still humid enough, I think. But the track should dry out pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Or continue to dry out pretty quickly, I should say.
Should be better conditions for the Michelin Pilot Challenge qualifying, which comes along 20 minutes after the end of this one. And we'll have full coverage of that race tomorrow. And if you're outside the US, that will be in sound as well as vision. Whether in the US or further afield, we will have sound and vision coverage again for you of the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship qualifying session, which is the last thing on track today, which is why these guys have got straight out onto the track now. And still Heart of Racing Aston Martin Vantage in the pit lane at the moment. That sort of suggests to me, Shea, that they might have a problem, because I'm not sure you'd want to be sitting this out even if the conditions are going to change later on.
No, I'd agree with that. I'll send a text over and find out what's going on.
Shea, Adam on the case, 11 and a half to go, and pace beginning to pick back up again, but not yet, Jeremy, as one might expect with everybody. I think pretty much everybody had gone out on wet Michelin tyres. We're not down anywhere near the times that were being set earlier on, 52 and just under a 58 for the Pfaff Motorsport Porsche. The problem here is that the GT Le Mans cars, Jeremy, haven't got up to speed yet.
No, that's right, because you're right, they hadn't been out at all, had they, before the track was effectively closed down due to that lightning strike nearby. So you're right, they could take a little while to get up to speed. And last time around for the GT Le Mans cars, 56s they're down to now, 57s and 8s for the GTDs. I'm sure they probably are on wets, but I think it's not going to be long before we're going to see cars into the pit lane and switch you over onto slicks.
Hello to Michael Ducharme, who is at the track and listening in here on IMSA Radio and around the circuit as well on the PA system. Reminder, we'll have the main race tomorrow on XM202 as well if you can't be at Lime Rock Park for the North East Grand Prix. But if you can't, then and you're within half a day's drive, get in the car. Get up there. This is a great place to be. Get yourself a day trip and go and see a couple of cracking races with Michelin Pilot Challenge first off, and then rounding off the afternoon's excitement, the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. Coming to the line now, the number one Lamborghini, Brian Sellers, sitting at the bottom of the GTDs that have put in representative times at the moment. He goes into Big Ben, the long right-hander. Some very wet Michelin tyres going on the Corvette number four. Now, when I say they're very wet, I don't mean they're extreme rain monsoon tyres. I meant that physically they were dripping with water. They happened to be slick tyres, but they'd literally been dropped in a puddle at the end of the pit lane before they went on to Corvette number four. So we're starting to see now, Jeremy, one or two brave souls thinking, right, let's do this. This is going to get drier, and the next 10 minutes is going to be absolute quality in terms of entertainment, and the lap times will start, I presume, to tumble.
Yeah, absolutely right. I think this is right. Cool. I think probably within it's pretty slippery down there, isn't it? The uphill chicane, certainly. But I think that the diving turn and Big Bend look pretty dry right now. It'd be slippery up at West Bend, I think, at the top of the hill before they come plunging into the downhill there. That'll certainly be a tricky corner. That'll get your attention coming through the downhill right now.
Oh yeah.
But it is drying out, I think, fairly rapidly.
It's interesting from my vantage point to see the water beading off the surface of the Michelin slick, and it was a brand new sticker tyre with that little sheen on that is particularly characteristic of Michelin slick racing tyres. They use a silver oxide compound in the race tyre mould as a release agent, and that's why you see that little silver shine on Michelin tyres. And that was a brand new set of slicks for the Corvette before it went out. Just scrub that off around the first couple of corners and start getting some heat into it. No tyre warmers allowed in IMSA competition, so it's all down to the amount of energy that the driver can get the car to put into it from the track. But with the track temperature still pleasantly around 30 degrees Celsius, that is around about 86 Fahrenheit, shouldn't take too much to get those tyres up to temp.
I agree, John. It was Tommy Milner, wasn't it, we saw coming to the pits in number four car, wasn't it?
Yes, it was.
Yeah, and he's just his first flying lap was 54.1 there in that number four Corvette, so already quicker than the previous couple of laps, a few laps that he'd done on wet tyres. So it's already now, your times are beginning to tumble down right now. He's up to West Bend on his second flying lap. Again, purple there in sector one, purple also in sector two for another Corvette. He comes around the downhill as one of the number 39 Audi headed towards the pit lane, and the sort of slick tyres. And Tommy Milner across the line, 53.0 that time around for Tommy Milner. So still not down to the best times that returned before we had the rain, which was 52.3, but getting there pretty quickly.
Yeah, and the gaps, of course, between the GTDs and the GT Le Mans here in terms of time, much smaller than other tracks because of the fact that it is only a 50-second lap, but we would expect the GT Le Mans cars to be a wee bit faster. This is the last time you'll see the GT Le Mans cars in their current form at Lime Rock Park next year. It is GTD Pro. Still waiting to find out if Corvette are going to backwards engineer these C8Rs into that. Decisions to be made for GM Racing for their sports car programmes. Haven't announced their second phase of the DPI programme yet as well. 52 flat for Tom Milner. So that is now the quickest time we have seen in either part of this session. Just to finish off the thought, the current DPI chassis for Cadillac, built by Dallara, they have signed with BMW, and BMW are influencing the design of that. So if GM were to stay with them, they'd be sharing a platform with BMW. OEMs do that all the time. Car manufacturers do that all the time. And the new Supra is a BMW, or the new BMW is a Supra, whichever way you look at it. But there are only four chassis manufacturers. And we talked about this on Midweek Motorsport on Wednesday. We're in a situation where those decisions have to be made quickly as to whether we'll see Corvettes in GTD Pro next year at all, or whether they'll do a full programme or a partial programme. I think the smart money is probably on doing a substantial program in IMSA and cherry picking the WEC still as a GT Le Mans car. See those cars over in Europe more often than we have in the past. Shit, Adam, pretty much everybody heading to the pit lane and banging a set of Michelin slicks on for the last 5 minutes.
Yes, correct. I've got confirmation from Magnus, Wright, and Paul Miller that all three of those cars are on slick tires. I've seen O and P next to a lot of the GTD cars, meaning that they have gone into the pits, preferably for a change of tires, and then left on an outlap. But still, no presence from that 23 Heart of Racing Aston Martin. I think you're right, John. I think there is something going on with that car.
Okay, we'll get news on that. Under 4 minutes to go, Jeremy. At times improving, but not for everybody. Tom Milner has gone to the top, but we haven't seen any big improvements from the GTDs, and it's still that time from earlier on by Zachary Robichon at the 52.380 that is the quickest for the GT Daytonas.
Yeah, 53.2 is the quickest I've seen for anybody in GTD, or 53.0 there for Mario Farnbacher. His best earlier was 52.693, right. So you know, now down to sort of 3 or 4 tenths away from their best. Also, good to see the number 19 GRT Grass Racing Lamborghini. That's just improved. That was the car that had a problem. It appeared to be stuck on the pit lane speed limiter before the red flag came out. That car is out there now, and Michel's just earned that car's best lap. It was a 55.0, so he's still getting up to speed in that car, but he is now turning representative times. We've seen improvements on this last lap on their overall times in this session for Madison Snow in car number 1, Andy Lally in car number 44, and Rob Ferriol too. Is that right? In the scratch that one. That car's not been out in this since the restart, I don't think. Yeah, we haven't seen number 88 car either out there. So but there are some improvements that are now coming through.
Shea?
Ferriol's been out. They didn't get out before the red flag because they were doing the gearbox change.
Yeah. He's out back in again now. So on a couple of minutes to go. Madison Snow now behind the wheel of Paul Miller Racing's Lamborghini Huracan. Just backing away as he comes out of Big Bend from the back of the other Lamborghini, Misha Goitberg for GRT Grasser. That's the mostly green car. Looks like Madison is trying to get make a bit of room to have a tilt at a decent lap time. Just looking through the times. Mark Miller in ninth for Acura. Roman De Angelis still not being out in that heart of racing. Aston, Mario Farnbacher in 7th for Acura, 6th for Richard Heistand in the 39 Carbon car, and a new time at the top of the times, and now both of the Corvettes, Jeremy, have put in better times.
They have, yeah, 50.9 there for Tommy Milner, resets fastest lap of this session, 50.961, the quickest time this morning in the earlier session for Corvette was Antonio Garcia at 50.456. So Tom Miller down to within a half a second of that, and he's three quarters of a second quicker than his teammate Jordan Taylor, who just turned his best time, 51.7 in the sister number 3 Corvette.
Just on half a minute to go. That's time to get a lap in the whole round. God, we're recalibrating ourselves again, aren't we? We had a pretty long racetrack last time out, and now with a mile and a half, we've got to keep reminding ourselves, Jeremy, that 51, 52 seconds, that's enough to get another lap, isn't it?
It is, yes. It's a completely different mindset, isn't it?
And for the drivers and teams as well, not least about dropping people into traffic and where you get people out there. It's pit stops. We'll be talking about this, I'm fairly certain, in our Porsche keys to the race, Jeremy. But, you know, going a lap down here is absolute when you take a pit stop. Often times we've seen people going 2 laps down here to take a pit stop. And you've got to hope that you've done it at the right time and you don't get caught behind a safety car.
That's exactly right. It adds another element to the strategic decisions that need to be made during the race tomorrow. No question about it. Chicken Flag is out on this session. I think the fastest time I've seen is a 52.9, I think is the quickest time I've seen by anybody in GTD. I'd say that 52.8 for Jack Hawksworth in car number 14. 52.8 then for Hawksworth. 52.9 for Mario Farnbacher. 53.0 last time for Anderson Snow in the number one Lamborghini.
Checkered flag, as we say, is out, and everybody gets back to the pit lane quickly as well. That's the other thing. Shea Adam, more problems for teams up and down the pit lane. What do you have in this VP Racing Field Pit and Paddock report?
Well, if Jeremy was right in noticing that the 88 team Hardpoint EVM Porsche was not back out of the pit lane, it did do laps in this session after the red flag was lifted. It did 10 of them. Rob Perio brought the car back into the pit lane, and then it had a minor electrical fire. But anytime you have a fire, it's, well, not really minor. So their day of struggles continues, and hopefully all will be right for the car when it goes out for qualifying in about 2 hours' time.
That was a gearbox issue for that car early on, Shea, was it?
Yes, correct. They changed the gearbox in between practice one and two, did not quite have it done for the start of practice two. So they were just about to come out to the pit lane when the red flag actually flew. So it means that they've had a limited amount of running today, and going into the qualifying session, it's actually in an hour and a half. It's going to be a learning curve still.
Porsche gearbox problems, that we don't hear about them very often at all. Let me give you some times as we wrap up, and then we'll hand you back to our colleagues in the tower at Lime Rock Park. Tom Milner for Corvette Racing with the fastest time of 50.50.961. Round about 0.3 of a second quicker than his teammate Jordan Taylor in the number three Chevy Corvette. Then the best of the GTDs, that time from before the weather hold, a 52.380. Zachary Robichon for Porsche for Pfaff Motorsport, and the number nine car was ahead of Jack Hawksworth for Vassar Sullivan and stayed ahead. That was the number 14 Lexus. Another Porsche in third, Trent Hindman. We heard from him during that weather hold for Wright Motorsport. That's the blue number 16. Top six made up by Tacos Motorsport, BMW M6 GT3. It's Turner Motorsport, of course, but that's what's written on the side. Both of their drivers, Robbie Foley and Bill Oberlin, in the car in that session. Fifth in GT Daytona, the second of the Lexus, Zach Veach, in the car at the checkered flag. That's the number 12. And the dark grey and bright green car bomb by Peregrine Audi. Richard Highstand did, I think, all of the car's 16 laps. Check that, 29 laps in that running in that session. The number 39 car, sixth. The other GT Le Mans car was Cooper McNeil for WeatherTech Racing. They did get 16 laps in, and they were round about 1.7 seconds off the pace of the Corvettes. Thanks to everybody at the track, particularly Tyler Norling and our crew, IMSA technical crew, to Bob Barfield and everybody in Race Control for keeping us updated, and everybody for working so hard during that session, and particularly during the rain delay. Fingers crossed that we'll be able to continue. Jeremy Shaw was with me, John Hindhoff and Shea Adam for this broadcast. We'll be back in sound and vision for qualifying for the IMSA WeatherTech Sports Car Championship in a little under 90 minutes time to help fill some of that gap if you're listening on RS2 IMSA Radio at imsaradio.com. As I promised, here's that full interview with Adrian Bonvento and Robert Liddell about Rookie Season, the documentary on the first year in Michelin Pilot Challenge of Rebel Rock Racing and their Camaros. That comes up next here on IMSA Radio. Bye for now.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.